Hi, this is Bill Wolfen, Editorial Director and Associate Publisher of American City and County, and thank you for joining me for this discussion on the Jefferson County, Alabama bankruptcy. With me today is Patrick Shea, an attorney and strategic advisor in public and private sector financial structures. Pat also was the attorney for more than 175 municipal agencies in the Orange County, California bankruptcy in 1994. Joining him is Emmanuel Grillo, chair of Goodwin Proctor's financial restructuring practice. Gentlemen, thanks for helping our audience understand the potential ramifications of what's going on in Jefferson County.
Thanks for having us. Good morning.
Good morning. Jefferson County failed to restructure its debt before it filed for Chapter 9. Is it really a good idea to reorder the debt before filing, or trying to at least, before filing for bankruptcy? And if that's yes, then assuming they're unsuccessful, at what point should the community turn to Chapter 9?
Let's start. Let me take a crack at that first. And the answer, of course, is that it's always a good idea to try and reorder your debt before filing for bankruptcy. It's considered one of the precursors, one of the things that you have to do in order to file for Chapter 9. And it's not a heavy burden because most entities are probably scrambling and working very hard to make that happen if they can. But the reality of Jefferson County, like the reality of many other municipalities, is that they have many different levels of debt and lots of financial problems. People think about Chapter 9 when they get to the point they can't deal with all of their problems collectively. And when that happens, Chapter 9 is the natural place to go, and Jefferson County is a good example of it for the following reason. Jefferson County had various different institutional debt. It had several $1 billion in sewer debt. It had $1 billion in other kinds of debt, both general obligation bonds and school bonds and other kinds of obligations, all of which are sort of interconnected when you don't have enough money to pay all of them at the same time. So the value of a Chapter 9 proceeding, more than anything else, is the ability to locate all of your claims, all of your creditors, all of your financial problems in the same place at the same time, and in a sense impose on all of the creditors the obligation to work collectively and cooperatively, if not reluctantly, to try and resolve the problem. There is no ability to do that under state law. There are no reorganization provisions under any state law that I'm aware of. This is the place you go to do this sort of collective process. And it was critically important, particularly in Jefferson County, where the sewer bonds, which were the driving force of their insolvency, were owned by various parties. Some of them were prepared to do to be cooperative and make some concessions and restructure, and others were not. And outside of a Chapter 9, there's no way to compel all of them to address the problem collectively. You could start with the ones that weren't going to be cooperative, but if you didn't have the ones that weren't going to be cooperative, you could never achieve your objective. And outside of Chapter 9, that's simply not possible.
So that lack of cooperation is really the tipping point. The whatever numbers of people are not willing to cooperate, is that it's the tipping point. Is there, in Jefferson County's case, that is exactly what happened, right?
Yeah, and the cooperation issue, it drives Chapter 9. You know, people look at, you know, they have misunderstandings about what Chapter 9 can do, and not the only thing the judge will come in and impose, you know, various provisions and make people do one thing or another. That is a lot less true than people think. What drives the process in Chapter 9 is the fact that just by creating the platform of finding a Chapter 9, all of the parties that have claims against the municipality are required to come in and address those claims in the same place at the same time. The municipality is able to structure the way they're going to be treated collectively by their classes of claims and separate treatment, different treatment. You don't need to have the approval of everybody, every creditor, every claimant to be successful. There are ways of collectivizing the process and getting the resolution that you need to go from insolvency to solvency, because they're all in one place and they're all governed by the same body of law and in front of the same court. That doesn't happen anywhere else, and that places like Jefferson County inevitably wind up in Chapter 9 in order to achieve their objective.
Right. If I may, it's really, as Pat
points out, it is really the only place where you can get all of the competing stakeholders to appear and be bound on the way out at the same time. And you don't need unanimous consent in anything you do outside of court. Typically, you require unanimous consent, and the bankruptcy code allows you to get a deal done and to put a plan together without unanimous consent.
I see. Now, you know, onto a little bit different, it seems like something different about this Jefferson County case is that their attorneys are framing, as I understand it, there are arguments on an unusual interpretation of the Chapter 9 code. If you can illuminate what that is a little bit, because I don't quite understand what. I do understand that if they're successful, I'm told that it would reorder the traditional primary rank of bondholders against their creditors. You know, if you could explain a little more about what their tactics are here, and if they're successful, what are the potential national impacts of their arguments if they're supported by the court, including their effect on the municipal bond market investors?
Sure, there's not many, if I may. What I think the issue here is, it has to do with the special revenue bonds and the water system. And what they're trying to do is to prevent that revenue from being dedicated to those bonds in particular as part of the bankruptcy, saying, look, let's take everything and let's put it all effectively in one pot. Let's not leave, you know, certain revenue dedicated from one area, you know, solely to pay one set of bonds. We want to allocate it in the county's view more fairly. The problem is the way these bonds are sold with special dedicated revenue, you know, the pricing is done on that basis, and the difficult part is that if you then separate the dedicated revenue from the payment of the bonds itself, the fear is that that, you know, other existing deals where that's the case elsewhere will sort of wind up in the same place, and that will throw the bond market completely out of whack. And that's what the concern is at present, and the court is taking a look at that issue as we speak.
So if they are successful, this will change the game a good bit.
It has the potential to. Obviously, whatever happens in Jefferson County is not binding on anyone else. Courts can take different interpretations, but, you know, courts like to argue from precedent, and if there's a precedent out there, you know, where this is the case, then, you know, it may not be difficult for other courts to sort of follow along, and that's what the fear is.
Can I jump in on just a second? This is Pat. I think that's a good overview of what the issue is, at least it being, you know, discussed in the national press. A couple of issues. One, bankruptcy courts and bankruptcy process is not anecdotal. They don't make this up as they go along. There are rules that are followed far more specifically in bankruptcy than there are in most other state proceedings. You know, the treatment of secured claims and unsecured claims, particularly in the public debt, has a long history to it, and there are a lot of protections to it. That being said, when you go into a Chapter 9, as with all large bankruptcies, and these municipal bankruptcies are often large, every issue of your financial condition, municipality's financial condition, is examined closely. And lots of options are examined that may be inside the expectation box or outside the expectation box. And so it's not unusual for a municipality to propose both to its creditor class or secured creditor class or municipal revenue bond holders and others a different treatment than perhaps they had expected on the front end for two reasons. One, to see if consensus can be reached and that can be structured voluntarily, in which case that's a victory. Or two, if it can't be, in order to create a platform for negotiations that take on a broader view and engage the other creditor classes in order to provide enhancement or support systems that allow the municipality to address its secured claims in a more preferred position and acknowledge the fact that the junior interests will be treated differently. That process alone, just that dynamic, moves the case far more quickly than it would if you were trying to have those discussions and collaborations sequentially outside of Chapter 9. So there's a dynamic process here. The fact that the that the lawyers for Jefferson County have taken this tack is anything but surprising, and the result may well be very successful, regardless of how the specific legal issue gets decided.
Okay. So like so many other things, this is nowhere near a done deal, and which as we always do, keep an eye on how this plays out. And our concern obviously is that will already, I guess it'll already upset a relatively nervous economy, and that filters all the way into to cities and counties and the bonds that they need to support their activities. And the next couple of questions for you, the last couple of questions, really relate to what you're seeing out there. We know that municipal bond failures, or you know, that this kind of bankruptcy, I should say, is unusual. I mean, to say the least, this is the largest in history, but the percentages, you know, and statistics play, you know, point out this is an unusual situation. I mean, forget the size of it, that this is not going to be the beginning of a domino effect in cities and counties. But what is true is that cities and counties are experiencing, all over the country, certain ones are experiencing more or less financial difficulty. So in your experience, we'd like to hear a little bit your experience related to, you know, whether you're seeing more communities seeking financial help today versus any other time in your experience, and what circumstances have caused their distress.
Can you let me do this for me? Actually, I'll start, and I'm sure you're going to have plenty to add. The interesting thing about this is it's always been kind of a restructuring backwater to some degree. You know, to the extent that you say that, you know, are more communities seeking financial help, the correct answer is probably more should be that aren't, I think, in the first instance. And how they got there, you know, is usually up to a variety, you know, as a result of rather a variety of circumstances. A lot of them, you know, like Jefferson County and Harrisburg, you know, had some big projects that took them past the tipping point. But I think that many had hoped that the recovery that was going on, or that was supposed to be taking place, you know, since the recession that started in 08, were hoping their tax revenue would come back and they could sort of put their heads in the, you know, into the sand for a while and just kind of ride it through. And I think as the recovery takes longer to proceed, it becomes incredibly difficult to keep putting these problems off for a period of time. And, you know, you've got a combination of, you know, projects like, you know, like the sewer project in Jefferson County or the incinerator project in Harrisburg and things like that. But you've also got, you know, pension obligations and things like that. I know Pat's got a particular point of view on that, which I'm sure he's going to share in a moment, as well as sort of, you know, just vendor issues that have just kind of gotten out of control. And the bottom line is that, as Pat pointed out in response to one of the earlier questions, there's really only one place to resolve all of that at the same time. And, you know, perhaps more should than shouldn't avail themselves of the benefit of bankruptcy, at least to reorder things and to put, you know, to restore fiscal order ultimately. But it still remains a sparsely used remedy to this point. And I think probably more would benefit if they all thought about it a little bit more seriously and put it on the table as a serious consideration. But I know Pat's got a couple of ideas on that as well.
Yeah, going to your first question about how rare it is, I think Jefferson County was like the 11th Chapter 9 of this year, so it didn't happen very frequently. There's usually like 12 to 14,000 corporate reorganizations a year, but it was relatively few when you think about it under Chapter 9. But usually they're sort of bigger in concept because they envelop an entire municipal service provider, which plays a unique role on a much larger platform footprint than perhaps a given corporation. So while they're fewer of them, they usually have a bigger impact and they are important vehicles as a result. You know, going to your question about, you know, whether this is something we see out there, if you look at Jefferson County and you look at the commenters from
from that area, they will tell you that no one in the area was surprised that Jefferson County went into Chapter 9. I mean, it had been bleeding and stressing and spending all the time and focus for 3 or 4 years trying to deal with this project, with the process, and were unsuccessful. And so they went into Chapter 9 as sort of a last resort. Going to Manny's comment, that certainly would have been far better off had they gone in earlier rather than later, because at some point the complexity of a municipality's financial structure has so many moving parts, and the difficulties that we see in municipalities now is that their financial stress is not in just one part, it's in many parts. And in some cases, it's because one part got into distress, and some municipalities start, in a sense, borrowing, if you will, revenue or some other resource from another entity in government in order to shore it up and kind of keep it going. And we see more and more municipalities that are kind of at the end of their rope and all of their different options and accesses to revenue. And so, once again, it goes to the globalization of your ability to deal with all of your problems, because by the time we've seen municipalities that go into a Chapter 9, not because of a particular crisis like Jefferson County or Orange County, but because they've simply run out of options, they really do need something comprehensive. They need a place to deal with lots of different kinds of obligations and lots of kinds of stressors, and service issues are an element there, and there are interesting and important interests to be balanced. I mean, the interest of municipal employees in wages and salaries and benefits, which is an operating issue, stacks up against long-term obligations to banks and municipal bondholders. That's a dialogue that never happens, can never happen outside of this kind of a vehicle. So I see this certainly in California. I do most of my work in California, and I see throughout the state of California and the state itself and its public pension plans and the public pension obligations of the municipalities, many of them under great stress, and then the municipalities that are their plan sponsors under great stress, and then the public sector services under great stress. Those are the situations where I think responsible, intelligent leadership could lead to an earlier recognition of the value of Chapter 9 as a way of really addressing the issues that apply to everyone in a fair and constructive fashion. And I think overall, looking at the concern for the municipal bond market that you were talking about earlier, looking at the issues for public unions and employees and their intense concern in this area, all the other issues that apply here, the bigger picture that we have to focus on is that everyone is better off when municipalities regain financial strength and health. Everyone, the municipal bond market, even though it's inconvenient to have a Jefferson County, the municipal bond market is better off if Jefferson County is restructured. The state is better off if Jefferson County is restructured. The employees, the public, the public is better off. Everyone's better off. And so we need to look at this not as a vehicle of, punishment or regression or something to be embarrassed. This is really the vehicle that gets you to the point where everyone in the system is better off after.
Interesting. So in the last question, it really dovetails off of both of your responses in a sense that maybe it was Manny who said in answer to the question, are you seeing more communities seeking financial help? I think I heard you say, but more should, that more shoulds, which implies that a couple of things, at least to me, which is that there's more, that the longer they wait, the worse it may get, and there may be not necessarily a cascading effect of more communities going bankrupt, but at least that there's going to be more is sort of what I heard. The undertone of this was there definitely we know that there are communities in financial distress. The question is how many and what stage of it it's in what stage of financial distress they're in, much less their the sophistication of the management of that community. The last question is related to this. What are some of the mistakes local governments make that lead them into financial difficulties, and what advice can you give them to avoid it?
I would think that, this is Manny, I would think that sort of out of the box, the biggest mistake, all sorts of mistakes lead you into financial distress, right? So, you can play gimmicks with numbers to try and put it off for a while, or maybe hide the severity of a problem because you're trying to, engage in a more limited workout. The biggest mistake isn't the one that leads you into financial distress, but the biggest mistake is actually not dealing with it soon enough, and I think this is a point that Pat was making earlier that I think is worth looking at here, and that is it doesn't even matter whether you're a municipality or a corporation or some other entity. The problem is, you can see these things coming from a mile away. It's like the Titanic. It's not a surprise when it hits an iceberg. It just happens because it's just continuing on the same path. And the problem is that if you wait, the longer you wait, the less you can do to fix it, or I think as Pat said earlier, the fewer options you have in terms of what you can do. And that applies equally to municipalities as it does to corporations, as frankly it does to individuals at the end of the day. You can't, it's just not going to go away. And the bottom line is that at some point you need to sort of bring everyone into the same room, in this case, the bankruptcy courtroom, and say, look, we're going to need to sort this out. And guess what? If you don't like it, we may try and do a deal around you because we can bind you anyway. And that's, where it ultimately gets resolved. And the problem that you have is that there's a fear of the unknown, and that fear of the unknown is extremely palpable in a lot of these cities where, they would rather have a receiver appointed. Harrisburg officials fought tooth and nail to keep it out at the end of the day. Okay, so they succeeded. Well, what did that get them? It certainly didn't lead to a deal being done anytime quickly, and probably won't. And, you shouldn't be surprised if you see them come back, even on a consensual basis, and say the only way maybe to resolve this in the absence of somebody throwing, at the state or federal level, throwing money their way, is, may wind up back in bankruptcy court on a consensual basis in the end if they can't reach a resolution. So, it's not so much what leads them into financial distress, because a lot of things could lead them into financial distress, and certainly the current macroeconomic situation doesn't help things any. But I don't know that every city, in terms of advice is to avoid the financial distress, but the key piece of advice, I think, is to deal with it. Deal with it, address it, and start thinking of the bankruptcy court before you file as a potential hammer. And then once you're there, just sort of say, if you wind up there and you can't get a deal, then now we're going to deal with this, in a broader fashion, and everyone is going to have an opportunity to be heard on every issue, even if you didn't think it was ultimately going to affect them.
Okay. Let me follow. This is Pat on that comment. In my experience, it has convinced me that dealing with these financial problems earlier is the only way to go, and sometimes Chapter 9 is the only way to do it. Not doing it condemns you to circumstances where your options, the cost will be higher and the results will be less acceptable than the ones that you do earlier. So the idea of dealing with these things earlier is always not just the appropriate thing to do, but it's actually in everyone's best interest, including the people making the decision. And sometimes they don't see it that way, but they need to have help, and maybe they need the right people to talk to show them how this works out for them. My final comment on this is that at the end of the Orange County case, which went from 94 to 2000 approximately, the bankruptcy case itself went 18 months. There was some other litigation, some other things that took a little bit longer, but there were, obviously, that was a very inclusive
Chapter 9 case. 175 municipalities were involved. All of the major municipal unions were involved. Wall Street was involved. You know, public debt was involved. The SEC was a very large, very complicated restructuring. At the end, I can't tell you the number of entities, representatives of entities, whether they be school districts or municipalities or labor unions or retirement systems, that anecdotally told me, you know, looking back on this, if we weren't in Chapter 9, we could never have done any of the things we did. We could never have made these concessions. We could never have restructured any of this. We could never have cooperated with the city next door, the water district down the street. Politically, we couldn't have done it. But only because we were in Chapter 9 were we given the opportunity, in a sense, the political cover and excuse and understanding at the public level that we were required to cooperate and collaborate and get this thing fixed. And so without Chapter 9, you not only have the sort of realistic problem of engaging with a reluctant person that has to be, as Manny pointed out, that we have to get universal consent from everybody, you're not going to get it. But for those people, you're putting them that you need to have any discussions, you're putting them at a disadvantage, you're compromising their ability to be constructive by staying out of Chapter 9, because in so many cases, they simply can't be, either for political or legal reasons, and therefore your efforts outside of Chapter 9 are simply not going to be as successful.
Excellent. And would you both agree that the first step in this process for those who are who know that they are in some trouble is to seek good advice to determine their best course of action at the point they're at?
I would say it's not just to seek good advice, but to be open-minded to it. People will engage in meetings and discussions, but, you know, they'll be sort of myopically focused on, you know, what their approach ought to be, and they'll look for, you know, ratification of their, you know, their existing view of the world. It's one thing to go and seek out the advice. It's another thing to listen to it and follow it. And because, you know, there's such unknowns attached to this thing, I think it makes it much more difficult than it would be, and the notoriety that will come and things like that. And I think, you know, it's not only getting the advice, it's sort of bracing yourself to be able to accept and implement that advice. Right. Pat, what do you think?
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. I think part of that process allows persons that are not sophisticated consumers of this area of discipline, and that's almost everybody, to overcome their fear. I mean, my experience has been that in Orange County, the initiation of the Chapter 9 case caused enormous fear in every sector of Orange County, needlessly. And part of it is because there's just not an understanding of how that process works. It's a natural, the business cycle is a normal cycle that happens in government, just as it happens elsewhere. Companies have to deal with this, individuals have to deal with this, and municipalities and governments need to deal with this. And having that kind of advice early, finding people that you can talk to, not people that are going to come in and chart a path for you, but they can talk you through the principles and the reasons for the process and the cost and the time frame and the end results, is what allows the people that are in the difficult decision of making those elections for their municipalities to overcome their fear and to be able to be more sophisticated in their analysis and in their approach and in their expectations for where this process is going to take them, balance them against the options outside of Chapter 9 and make rational decisions. No matter how that turns out, the people that are given that opportunity to become more educated in this space are going to simply be better leaders, better political office holders, better staff members. The whole process improves as a result.
Right. No, there's no question about it. You know, gentlemen, I appreciate the your perspective and sharing it with our listeners here. And I'd like to, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank Pat Shea and Manny Grillo for their time and for yours as well. This is Bill Walton for American City and County.